Hello everyone and welcome to our latest Red or Blue podcast on the official Everton website. I'm delighted to say my guest is former centre forward Phil Jevons. Welcome back to Finch Farm, Phil, a place you know really, really well. Just let us know what you're up to now.
Well, thanks for having me, Daz. At the moment I'm doing individual coaching. I set up my own business. It's a limited company, Phil Jevons Coaching. I'm based at Simpsons, Hillfoot Road in South Liverpool. And I do individual coaching, one-to-one stuff for a variety of age groups and levels of player.
It's a cutthroat industry, isn't it, when you move into coaching and managing? We were just speaking there in the canteen here at Finch Farm, having a cup of coffee, just how cutthroat and ruthless it can be. But you still want to get back in, I suppose, at some point?
Well, I think, you sign up for that when you come out of an academy setup and you go into first-team environments. You know, as you say, it's a results-based business and... you know, if you're not winning and you're not getting results, and things can change. And I suppose that's what I've sort of experienced over the last sort of 3 or 4 years, having that excitement of being in a new football club and doing well. And then as soon as sort of things turn sour a little bit, you know, you're packing your bags and you're on your way. So I'm pretty settled doing what I'm doing. I haven't really applied for any jobs over the last year or so. So, yeah, but you've got that bug and that first team sort of itch that's always there, you know, and you want to experience that match day 3 point sort of thrill, if you like.
I suppose it's never say never, isn't it? But we'll speak about your coaching career as we progress through this podcast. Let's just go back to the very beginning for you at Everton. How old were you when you first came to the notice of the scouts?
I think I was 11 or 12 when I first came in. I really enjoyed coming in. I remember we were at Belfield and I loved the indoor gym there, you know, and I really thrived in that environment. You know, we had some really good coaches, some really good players, and I think that sort of like friendly but challenging environment helped me sort of kick on and go through the age groups when I was younger.
Who coached you at that point?
Well, there was Neil Dewsnip, there was, you know, some Bedsead who was about, Dave Fogg, you know, some real sort of Everton legends in terms of the coaching world. But yeah, it was a fantastic, you know, time. But I think the players that were all there at the time, you know, we all grew up through the ranks together and became successful in the youth team and in the reserve league later on.
The progression rate from that group was terrific, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. I mean, we had some internationals and there's some big names in there. You know, I can mention a few like Franny Jeffers, Danny Cadamarsi, Michael Ball, Richard Dunn, Carl Regan.
Wow.
Yeah. Dean Delaney, Adam Farley.
Ozzy was there or thereabouts, wasn't he?
Ozzy, you know, Leon Osman, Jamie Milligan.
Wow.
Tony Hibbert.
Yeah.
Adam Eaton. You know,
it's an incredible success rate when you think about
Michael it. Michael O'Brien and Dave Poppleton, you know, Mick was the captain and we had a fantastic team.
It was such a good learning playground, wasn't it, at the time? Reserve team football. You played under Big Andy Holden, who played professionally himself, but you played with and alongside, at times, international footballers.
Yeah, and it's different now, obviously. It used to be the 23s, it's the 21s now, and everyone's pretty much the same age and level, give or take a few. I think you'd allowed 4 overage players, but back then it was just players who hadn't played for the first team, plus the young lads coming through. So we were playing alongside the likes of Gazza, and you know, some fantastic players that you can learn from: Don Hutchison, Nicky Barmby, John Collins. You know, and we were playing against unbelievable players as well. I remember playing at Old Trafford, you know, against Jordi Cruyff and Paul Scholes. Ollie Gunnar Solskjaer scored like 4 goals in half a game and then got took off. You know what I mean? So it was like the level was ridiculous.
You can only learn from that, can't you?
Absolutely, and that's what was great about it. You know, we were a good young football team, but having that sort of grounding where you sort of get hit with a brick by, like, this is the real deal. This, you know, we're near what it takes to get to the top, and you can only learn from that, as you say.
And it wasn't just the progression rate of those young players that came through to the first team. It was successful because you had an FA Youth Cup win, you had an FA Premier League Reserve League win.
Yeah, and it was a great time. You know, Colin Harvey and Taffy, as you say, were our manager and assistants, and you know, they were old school and hard. You know, so there was no sort of anybody stepping out of line in any way. Everyone was very disciplined, and we had a great team spirit, and we went on and won the Youth Cup against some really good young players, you know, in terms of like the semi-final and final, Leeds and Blackburn. And then, you know, the year later we went on to win the Reserve League, which was fantastic as well. You know, success at an early rate was good.
What do you recall of your first team debut against Blackburn Rovers?
Yeah, I mean, I've been on the bench a lot, like really, like for probably about two seasons. I've been on the bench and playing for the reserves, and I think I was top scorer for the reserves three seasons on the run. So I was ready. I felt like I was ready. It came on almost like a bit of a surprise. Nicky Barmby was injured about 10 minutes before half time away at Blackburn, and Walter Smith said, "Come on, get your stuff ready. You're coming on." And I was like, "Oh right, okay." And I remember being. I was absolutely tearing around like a nutter for like the last 10 minutes of the first half. And I remember going into the toilet and I was nearly sick because I'd ran myself that ragged. And towards the end of the game, I'd almost ran myself out of steam. But we won the game.
Yeah.
And I was involved in the move that I played an early ball into Donoghue, who played Bakayoko through and he scored. So it was a fantastic memory because, you know, it was surprising. We won the game. I was involved in the goal.
Did you have much of a relationship with Walter Smith and Archie Knox?
Walter Smith was fantastic. I mean, what a man. He gave me my first first team debut, gave me my second pro contract, and he was really good with me. And when I left, he was wishing me all the best. He was really a genuine guy.
Mm. It wasn't really a time to blood too many youngsters, was it?
No, it was difficult because, as I say, the first team weren't doing that well. So, you know, to put too many youngsters in at once would have been a real risk. And we had some really good, like, solid pros, you know, at the time. That, you know, Kevin Campbell was around, Duncan was there, Nicky Barmby, John Collins, you know, people like Richard Goff.
Yeah.
You know, Abel Javier. There was a solid team in there. But as I say, and Franny was getting in at the time, wasn't he, with Kevin Campbell. Yeah. They struck up a really strong relationship and partnership. So it was tough to put too many young lads in around that time.
Everybody was absolutely thrilled with the impact that Kevin Campbell had when he came in on loan towards the end of that season. He came in, he scored goals for fun. He was the Premier League Player of the Month for April. But I suppose you could have done without it, couldn't you?
Well, personally, yeah, no. I'm only joking. I mean, Kevin was magnificent. What a character he was. Yeah. He lifted the whole place. You know, his attitude and his personality in the club was fantastic. And I think he went a long way to keep us up that season.
When you look at the strikers that were around at the time, Duncan was here, obviously. Kadamati was here. Bakayoko, Barmby could play centre forward. Franny Jeffers as well. The competition was intense for you, wasn't it?
It was intense, yeah. And before them, there was Michael Branch as well. So I was coming through at a time when I really had to roll my sleeves up and show me quality. And I think that competition helped me kick on because you're either fight or flight, don't you? I've definitely sort of developed the attitude of believing in myself and getting the best out of myself. And them players that you've mentioned there were brilliant to have because, although, as you say, I could probably done without all that quality there in front of me to give me personally a better chance, but having that quality and that competition there definitely pushed me on to be a better player.
John Collins was good with you, wasn't he?
He was fantastic with me, yeah. Ultimate professional, fit as a fiddle. Remember pre-season we went to Il Choco in Italy, and he was that hot. He was training without a top on it, and he didn't have a percentage of fat on his body. And I was like, wow. And he was saying, well, this is what you've got to do. This is how you've got to live your life. This is how you've got to eat. This is how you've got to train. And that really helped me. And also, I've got to mention Nicky Barmby. He was a real big fan of mine. I remember him saying, when I wasn't quite getting a chance, you know, stick with it. I was there doing the same as you when I was younger, and you know, don't give up, you know, don't be disheartened. And we'd always go out after training and work on our finishing or like, you know, little combinations and stuff like that. And Nicky Barmby was fantastic with me as well.
He was a great lad. It's just a shame he somewhat blotted his copybook, didn't
he? Yeah, true.
And then the following season, when Walter brought in the likes of Joe Maxmore and Mark Hughes, I mean, Mark Hughes, tremendous footballer, but he was clearly come to the end.
Yeah.
Did you start to think to yourself, this might not happen for me here at Everton?
Yeah, well, funnily enough, because that last season I was at Everton, my squad number went up from 20 to 26. So I also almost got a bit of an inkling then. But Joe Maxmore was a good player, great lad. I didn't think he was any better than I was. So, you know, I obviously had that international experience. Mark Hughes was coming to the end of his career, but a fantastic player to play alongside and train alongside each day. You know, with that experience, he helped me a lot. I actually played up front with him in the Bradford game when I made my full debut. So when people talk about Mark Hughes, not a lot of people say, I always actually played up front with him, you know.
Did
you?
Yeah.
But yeah, he was. There wasn't a lot of pace up there at that time, but no, he was a good target man to play alongside.
Do you think all that was missing from yourself was a goal? I mean, it sounds very, very basic, and it sounds a silly thing to say, but I always felt that if you'd have got one, if it had been a tap-in or one goes in off your backside, it could have made a difference.
Yeah, it could have made a difference, yeah. I remember playing against Bradford at home, you know, my full debut at Goodison. There was a couple of times, you know, got brought down for the penalty. There was one that went just behind me. There was a couple of times, there was a game at home that I played in towards the end of the season where I just didn't quite make the run early enough and the ball got flashed across the box and I just missed it. If one of them chances goes in, then I might have got a run in the team. You know, after the game after, the Bradford game after we'd won, I'd played well and won the penalty, I didn't play. So I didn't quite hold down a regular, you know, slot. I didn't get a run of 5 to 10
games.
Didn't
get into the groove, did you?
Yeah, so, and it was, you know, if I had scored a goal, maybe I'd have played the next game and then, you know, it snowballs and you get a little bit of momentum, but it never quite happened.
Do you ever look back and think you should have waited another 12 months maybe, and then David Moyes came in, because Moyes gave Nick Chadwick his opportunity, and as we were speaking about before, Chaddy's unfortunate occurrence was the emergence of a certain Wayne Rooney.
Yeah, I know. I've looked back at that and thought, well, Moisey wasn't the kind to sort of play too many young lads. Used to say that Chaddy wouldn't have been better than me anyway, because I've got a lot of respect for Nick Chadwick, very good player in his own right. And then obviously Rooney was coming through. I remember speaking to Walter Smith and he said, you know, I can't guarantee that the next season, if we offer you a new contract, will be any different from the last three. And that was the sort of message for me to say, okay, well, I was 21, I was going to be 22 that summer, and I thought it's time for me to maybe move on and start playing every week, and I had interest from the Championship, so that's probably why I moved on.
Did you have any regrets when you walked out of Belfield, or were you happy within yourself that you'd done everything you possibly could to force your way in and it just didn't happen?
No, I don't have any regrets, no. I mean, this is no fault of my own, but if I had got a goal, or if I had got a little bit more of a run in the team, then things might have been different. But no regrets.
You certainly endeared yourself to the Evertonians in a black and white shirt for Grimsby when you scored that goal against Liverpool in the League Cup.
Yeah, I still get Evertonians coming up to me now talking about that, and Liverpoolians saying, you know, was that you, was it? But yeah, that was great, because obviously, I mean, I grew up Red, my father was a Red, but I've been a part of this football club since I was 10, 9, 10, 11, 12 years old, and I loved the football club, so it was fantastic for me, even though I'd just left Everton, to go and score against Liverpool at Anfield. That was a fantastic memory.
Which other clubs did you enjoy playing for?
Well, towards the end of Grimsby, I was sort of playing well and I was scoring a lot of goals. Then I got I moved to Yeovil and scored 29 goals in 2 seasons, got a promotion and kept them up. Then I went to Bristol City and got a promotion in my first season. So that sort of time in the southwest of England, over 3 years, 2 promotions and shed loads of goals, was probably my peak of my career, around, you know, 27, 26, 27 years old, 28. When I come back up north to Huddersfield, it didn't quite work out. And then obviously I was getting towards my 30s then, and I went down the leagues a little bit. But when my missus moved down to the south as well with me, and, you know, we made some really good friends that we've kept for life. And I think that football time where I was sort of playing every week and in my mid-20s, scoring goals, and that was probably where I enjoyed the most.
When did you start thinking about coaching, Jabbo?
I reckon towards my 30s, you know, naturally you do, because, you know, reality kicks in and you start feeling your legs going a little bit. So I think it was a natural progression to give that a go. I remember coming back here to watch young Liam Walsh with my friend Michael, and I seen Mick O'Brien. Liam was only under 9, under 10 then. And Mick O'Brien was here and he said, why don't you come in? So he invited me in, Mick, who's obviously a great lad, ex-coach here, ex-youth team captain. And when I came in, I loved it. I really love working with the young lads. So I thought, yeah, I'm going to take my badges and see where it takes me. And here I am, still going.
Who did you coach then when you first came back to Everton?
Well, the first couple of coaching sessions with the likes of Kieran Dahl, Liam Wallace, Nathan Broder, Nathan Holland, that kind of age group, Tom Davis. But they had a good youth team, by the way. They should have done better than they did. Delisle and all them, Callum Connolly, Joey Arney, you know, good players. So yeah, they were the first age group I worked with. But when I came in full time, I worked with like the under 9s, under 10s, under 11s. Then I progressed up through the age groups in terms of my coaching career, 14, 15, 16. And then I was the under 16s coach for 4 years before I moved up to assistant 18s. But then I was only there for a couple of months before I moved on to Sunderland. So any player that you could probably mention over the last, I don't know, 8 years, I've probably worked with at Everton.
Yeah, yeah. And you enjoyed your time here, didn't you? It would have taken somebody like Sunderland to lure you away.
Yeah, I think so. You know, Unzi was in a very strong position as the under-21s manager. Tatey had moved up to the under-18s, who is a fantastic coach. I felt like there wasn't a clear pathway for me to continue to move up, although I had moved up from 16s to 18s in terms of the assistants. But I felt like I'd been the 16s coach for 4 years. I was ready to move to something else. And Sunderland came in and said, you know, there's an opportunity to come up as a first team coach. You've been shortlisted. Do you want to come and do an interview? So I spoke to the people here, gave me the clearance to go and do that. I ended up getting the job, and it was a massive decision.
Not only was it a gamble to it.
Massive gamble, because Sunderland haven't got a very good reputation of keeping managers for very long. But also, I was leaving Everton, but I was also leaving my family, because the wages that they were offering wasn't good enough to move all my family up. And I wouldn't have probably done that anyway with the kids being in school and stuff like that. So I moved up and totally underestimated what it'd be like living away from my family, because I haven't really done that before. And obviously a big decision in terms of leaving Everton,
because
I think I'm well respected here, and you know, to take that leap of faith was quite a big decision, but I felt like I was ready to do it. I did it. It sort of worked out, because we went on and got promoted from League One to the Championship in my first season. But unfortunately, the manager left, inevitably, as you said before, that ruthless nature of the first team environment, and I ended up moving on as well. So since then, I've sort of went to Rochdale with Jim Bentley and done a very similar role, you know, as a sort of attacking unit, striker-specific, young player, first-team coach, and most recently at Fleetwood. But as you say, the ruthless nature means that it doesn't always last for very long.
When from the outside looking in, when you look at Sunderland, I always think, if ever there's an archetypal sleeping giant, it's Sunderland, because I love going up there for the games when they were in the Premier League. And it looks a really passionate football club with an unbelievable fan base, but it always seems a little bit chaotic.
Well, that's a very good analysis. When you're doing well, you're the best in the world.
Yeah.
When you're not, you're the worst. There's hardly any in between. But the passion up there, it's like, it really, you do feel that bite when you're up there, you know. And the Sunderland Till I Die documentary documents that really well. It only goes to show, when we were doing well and we were getting promoted, or on the verge of getting promoted, 45,000 up there for the home game, you know, against Sheffield Wednesday for the playoff semi-final. So
what's that pressure like, Phil? You're under pressure to deliver for each and every one of them people, and the millions in the city who can't get tickets.
Absolutely, yeah. Well, the pressure's massive, but what you've got to do as a professional is sort of not black that out. You've got to be aware of it, but you can't let it affect you too much, because you've got a job to do, you know, and you've got to make sure that you're doing your job in a professional manner, which would mean, as in the role, would be making sure you've got a good analysis of the opposition, you've got a good game plan, your preparation for the game is spot on, and you prepare the players as best you can.
As a former centre forward, I'm always interested, can you coach a goal scorer? Can you coach somebody to score goals? Like, bizarrely, I was speaking to Yakubu quite recently, and he looked one of the most natural born goal scorers that I've ever seen. Can you coach that? Can you instil that into a footballer?
Yeah, I do believe you can, 100%, because me not being a very quick centre forward, although I scored quite a lot of goals, I had to analyse the game in such detail that would give me the best chance to do that. So in terms of positioning, where you position yourself, where you move, the timing of your movements, And then obviously the technical details of the different types of finishes. You can always work on that and you can always get better at that. I see young players who come to me who haven't got good movement but have got good technique and vice versa. So it's definitely coachable. And yeah, you can even though you might see someone who's scoring a lot of goals, I still see them watching from the telly or on the sidelines. You can still be better, you could still do more.
Still keep an eye out, particularly for the centre forwards when you're watching a game of
football. Absolutely, yeah. I still speak to quite a few of them. I speak to Nathan Broder, he's obviously doing well at Ipswich. And I send him a text every now and again when he scores, which is usually every week.
Fantastic, isn't it, to see lads that you coach do not necessarily made it here at Everton. We've had loads of them on this podcast, but just to watch Sky or pick up the paper and still see them doing well.
Yeah, absolutely. It's you know, the whole goal of the academy is to produce players to play for Everton's first team. That's the number one goal. But sometimes they move on for whatever reason, and if they get a career in the game at whatever level, then it's been a success.
Phil, thanks very much indeed for joining us. I'm sure you look back at your time at Everton fondly, and I'm sure it gave you the platform to have the excellent career that you did.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, I think the world of this football club. You know, they gave me an opportunity as a young player. They gave me the debut in the Premier League, a professional contract. And then after I went off and had a career elsewhere, an opportunity to come back and start my coaching career. So obviously, fond memories. I love coming back here to Finch Farm, and thanks for having me.